Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter number 16. 1 Samuel chapter number 16. We are going to be doing a topical style message this morning, looking at a certain thought, and it might even boil over to tonight. Last week we spent the whole Sunday talking about how to have victory over sin, and we looked at that acrostic of the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. I know many of you said it was an encouragement and blessing, but we're hoping that you applied it to your life this past week and it made a difference. I know it was an encouragement and help to me throughout this week, and looking forward to how God's going to use this message this morning. The title of this morning's message is God Sees Things Differently. God sees things differently. When you look at our theme for the year, knowing and understanding the will of God, we got to get past our own thoughts and look at what biblical things are. Because sometimes what we think looks good and nice and shiny on the outside, God knows the heart. And with God knowing the heart, He sees people in a different way. And so today we're going to look at a number of different things, and we're going to start mostly off with how God sees man differently than we do. How God sees man differently. Everything is about perspective. I was reading what I consider a kind of a cute sermon illustration. It talked about a shoe salesman was sent to a remote part of the country. When he arrived, he was dismayed because everyone was going around barefooted. So he wired the company back, and he says, "There's no prospect for sales. There's no sense sending anybody else out here. Nobody wants shoes." They didn't listen to him, so they sent out another shoe salesman. He gets there, and he wires back. He says, "Nobody here wears shoes. It's the greatest opportunity in the world. Send as many salespeople as you can because everybody needs shoes." And it's amazing how sometimes the way we look at things and the way God looks at things are differently. It's not supposed to be that way. We remember God as being almighty, being God being all-knowing, God being everywhere. He sees the end, the beginning from the end. He's the one that has the better perspective. And when we look into His Word, we learn so much. If we will just take what we hear and apply it to our lives, we will see things differently also. So today we're going to spend some time, and I think we're going to start off today with see how God sees man differently, and we'll see how far we get with it. And there is other sections underneath that. If we have time this morning, we'll get through it and have another message for tonight, or I think we'll probably boil over to tonight these different thoughts and spend most of the time where God sees man differently. Most of you know in 1 Samuel chapter 16, if you remember your Bible, chapter 17 is when David kills Goliath. Chapter 16 is when David is anointed king. Samuel is sent to Bethlehem, sent to Jesse's family. And let's go ahead and pick up here and read in chapter 16, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, now let's remember who he's talking to. Samuel, he's a good guy. He's a judge. He's known for serving faithfully. You would think he'd be spiritually discerning. You think he would have it figured out. But God's going to teach Samuel a lesson that many times I think we need to learn and understand, seeing how God sees differently than us. "How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite." Now, one of the responsibilities of the judge back then was to anoint the next king. First king that was anointed was Saul. That was the people's decision. The people wanted Saul. Or wanted a king, and God gave them Saul. God would have blessed Saul if Saul would have done what was right. He had promises. He chose to go and do what was wrong. So God had found a man. He found himself a man that was after God's own heart. He chose the king this time. And he says at the end of verse number 1, says, "For I have provided me a king among his sons." He's saying there is someone that I have pinpointed that will be the next king. And Samuel said, "How can I go?" And that's pretty obvious. He says, "If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And so if the new king hears that the judge, the prophet, is going to go and anoint a new king, he's going to kill him and put him to death. So instead, he says, the Lord gives him a way to do it. The Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto you." So he said, "Look, you go and do what I've told you to do. you're going to anoint the person I tell you to anoint. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And at the elders and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Comest thou peacefully?" Wow, can you imagine that? Back to that day when the preacher would come to town, they would start trembling. So I know he was more than just a preacher, the prophet and the judge. They were concerned why he was entering town. And he said, "Peacefully, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves." I know the sermon's not about this, but it means make yourself clean. If you're truly ever going to sacrifice before the Lord, you need to be clean. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. And he says, look, that's got to be him. And we can imagine Eliab is probably because of his size, maybe the way he looks, his strength, Eliab being the oldest. Samuel just assumes that is who it is. Verse number 7 is probably a verse you've heard before, but it has so much meaning to it. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." And so that's the thought here, that God sees things differently. Samuel looks, and once again, Samuel being a spiritually discerning man, someone whose God has used even from a boy all the way up. Remember, he was the one that God spoke to and gave the message to Eli, and he has been faithfully, and the people loved him. He says, even he gets this wrong. Even he thinks it must be the oldest son. It must be because the way he looks and how tall he is. Because remember, Saul was known for being a head and shoulders above everyone else. But God says, no, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking at the heart. You say, "Oh, Pastor, what? I can't see the heart." God tells us we can have the mind of Christ, meaning that we can see things the way he sees, yes, in a limited capacity, but there are certain things I think we miss that on. We're going to spend some time with that. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." Then Jesse said, made Shammah to pass by. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen this." And Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." He says, "Hey, look, it's none of these guys." And then it says, verse number 11, "And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Let's have a word of prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look into your word today, I pray that you encourage us, that you motivate us, that you convict us, that you rebuke us where we need to, Lord, that you teach us the importance of seeing people the way that you see them. And Lord, that we would not be judging them based off of their backgrounds or their wealth or the things they've done, but instead we would have a heart for the things that you love and that you would see. And Lord, as we look through these different biblical examples today, whether we get through all of them this morning, that, Lord, you would burden our hearts to try to know and understand your will, that we would seek the mind of God, that we would be interested and to know the Lord and see how he feels about things. And Lord, that you would burden our heart for those that are lost, and that you would burden our heart for those that are away from you, that are children of God, that you would burden our heart, Lord, for those that are in another country and another part of the world. And Lord, that you would remind us that these are people that you love, and God, that you would encourage us to go out and do your work according to your will and your timing. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're not going to stay long here, but there is something I want you to think about here. If Samuel, being a man who is a prophet of God, a judge of God, been used by God all these ways, you would think he would have a little bit better understanding what God would be looking for. He misses this. And I think many times in our life today, we miss what God is trying to teach us because of our previous experiences or because of a bias or because how we think things should look and how we think things should be done. You think about it, he looks at Eliab and he says, man, that's a good-looking guy there. He's big, he's strong, he's the oldest. That's got to be the king. And what does the Lord say? I refused him. And that's the idea here, is that flesh has to get out of the way if we're ever going to truly know what God wants. It doesn't matter how big or how strong. It could have been Goliath coming to town, and Goliath could have been one of Jesse's sons. He could have been biggest and strong. He says, hey, that's got to be the next king. And God says, no, I don't want the flesh. I want the heart. And today, we're going to look at some different things when it comes to that idea. And we're going to, like I said, hopefully you got your Bibles, you'll be turning with me. But God sees man differently. God looking at the heart, God knows in the heart, you cannot hide anything from God. And because you cannot hide anything from him, he knows exactly what you're thinking. Everything's are open. Everything is laid naked before him. He sees and knows the intents of your heart. Let's go ahead and take your Bible to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. I say, okay, Pastor, I get it. David was a man after God's own heart. How do I apply that to my life? Well, the first thing I want you to think about is don't miss that we sometimes see things differently than God. And if we see things differently from God than God does, then we need to learn to try to think the way that God would think. We need to ask God to help us to open our eyes spiritually, to